Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host for the next 90 minutes. This is another in our ongoing series, The News in Review. This week, we'll be exploring several cases and the subject of child abduction in general. Joining me in the studio is my wife, Jen. Hi, Jen.
Hi, everyone.
From New York, we have a crime writer and author and self-titled crime doctor, Denny Griffin.
Good afternoon.
Denny, how is New York?
New York, the sun actually came out for a few minutes here a while back, so I'm quite excited.
And from Florida, we have investigator William Cobra Storbs. Cobra, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Simon, I love it too. And the crime doctor, I love to talk to him.
we are expecting T.J. Hart. I spoke to him a little while ago, so maybe he's just running fashionably late, but I'm sure he will be joining us shortly. As always, our switchboard is open, and that number is 646-378-1120. Also, our chat room is open, and you're welcome to ask your questions in there. We will be monitoring it. Let's start the program with an update on the Kaylee Anthony story. Not much going on, but I guess if there was an Oscar award for the most tasteless move of the week, that would definitely go to Oscar-winning director Steven Soderbergh, who has just written a play about the Anthony case. Don't know what the exact title is, but I believe Nancy Grace referred to it as Tot Mom.
Well, they claim the name of it is Tot Mom.
Oh, shit.
And he gave the name of it, of the play, because of the nickname that Nancy Grace gave Casey. So,
wow.
Do you have any idea, any more information about it? The reaction from people?
No, not yet, but it's not even, it hasn't come out yet. It premieres at the Sydney Theatre Company in Australia on December 18th. So, and they say that the tickets are ranging from $30 to $70. So that's going to be a pretty high-ticket play to go see, but that's what they're saying anyway.
Didn't Baez come out with some comment?
Yeah, he said if it's based on reality and not fiction, it's okay, but he thinks it's extremely premature for this case, not even being close to its conclusion. So
I saw the movie. I saw the movie. I didn't like it.
Of course, we're all waiting with bated breath for Baez to release his conclusive proof of Casey's innocence. I believe that's due in February, isn't it?
Yeah, somewhere around there, whatever. You never know with them.
I got my silver ball out. You want to know who his first pick is? The name starts with a C.
With a C, I don't know.
Okay, the other ancillary news of the week concerns meter reader, or I should say ex-meter reader, Roy Kronk.
Oh, damn, man, you figured it out.
He managed to get himself fired for turning up to a disciplinary meeting. Now, I understand the circumstances are that he injured himself in a warehouse, hurt his neck or something, and there seems to be some discussion about whether he's just malingering or whether or not the injury is serious or serious enough to prevent him from working. Denny, did you hear anything about this?
I did not hear about that, but I got to tell you, if I can ask Jan a question.
Oh, certainly.
This deal about Mr. Baez and his proof beyond a doubt information that will totally exonerate his client. I haven't heard, but did the prosecution, to your knowledge, say, look, in the interest of justice, if you have such information, we'd like to know, because we would certainly want her out of jail. I mean, if you got this proof.
They gave him, I think it's till February 1st mm-hmm. or something like that, to come up with the information.
Now, that was the judge that gave him till February?
Yeah, that was what the judge had decided. I think it was February 1st, which was a ridiculous amount of time to come up with something that they claim that they already have.
Yeah, I think I've certainly never been a judge. I don't play one on TV. But if it almost seems to me that the judge could say to Baez, never mind the prosecution, but tell Mr. Baez, say, look, in the interest of justice, if you've got that information, you've got it now, bring it to my chambers.
Exactly.
Just us. Just us. The prosecution won't be there. And I'll review it. And if I think, you know, blah, 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 if this totally exonerates your client, we should do something to get her out of the hooskow.
Right.
And I just don't understand. And if not, then don't be telling people that you've got this information. Tell them you've got a lead or tell them you're going to be investigating further. But don't be making these statements that you have in your possession this information that will spring her. And then do nothing with it now until at least. And then in February, they've only got to provide the information to the court or to the prosecution, right? That doesn't get her out of jail in February.
They've got to show proof to the courts that they do have something, as they have made statement in court. I forgot Todd Macuso or whatever his name is has told the courts that they do have information that could lead to her to prove her innocence. Now the prosecution wants them to come up with this information. I mean, it would save a lot of taxpayers' money. I mean,
sure.
It would save a lot of money if they would just come up with what they're claiming that they've got.
Exactly.
But they've still given them until February to come up with the information. I said, why do they need to wait that long if they claim that they've already got it? I don't understand why. And then he said that if they don't have it by this date, they have to have a good reason why they don't have it.
Exactly. Mr. Crime Doctor?
Yes.
Denny?
Yeah.
You just brought up a valid point there. Is that, in our legal system, is that something that can be done to where if somebody had irreputable evidence that they could bypass momentarily, I guess, the prosecution and go and give it to the judge, like you said, and let the judge mull it over for a minute? Is that something that's acceptable in the judicial system?
I can't answer you definitively, Cobra, because I've never dealt with that personally, but it seems to me that it should be. It seems to me that if you got, you know, in this country, we're great on giving the defendants every benefit of the doubt, and we don't want to lock anybody up who's innocent, deprive them of their liberty. So if this information exists, it seems to me that it should be in the interest of justice, and the judge is supposed to, that's supposed to be his bailiwick, that you would want this information in there. And if it's conclusive, then by God, they ought to open the doors and let the Miss Anthony out. And if it's not conclusive, these people who are saying it is ought to be straightened out.
It seems like they step in and insist on it.
Right. I mean, I would say this is grounds for a civil lawsuit.
I mean, Baez has already been stated as saying she wants her day in court. Okay, uh-huh. This is not going to be going to court until next summer. Why would she want to sit there in prison, in jail, and by herself all that time if they've got proof that can get her out of there?
You know, that'd make you mad at your own attorney and stuff like
exactly.
that. Well, I was asking you, Mr. Crime Doctor, because I see a correlation between, you know, I don't know if they're going to pick Mr. Crump or whatever they're going to do to bring it. I mean, they're going to have to really convince me, because we all know what really went down over there. They got a body. Now, in this case here with me, I wish they would be able to take something into the judge and say, Judge, look here. Why are they doing this to me? The law doesn't allow it. and then I got to wait until go through all this messeroo, and you can't file no motion. So I don't understand how this damn justice system works. I thought it did, but I must have been fooling.
I tell you, I've learned a lot through this case alone of how the court systems work.
I mean,
it just doesn't make any sense to me at all.
She
can't say, but she can't come back on the end and say, well, I didn't know what my attorney was up to, because she swore in court that she did.
I can swear in court that now. I say, no, I don't know what he's up to. I don't know what none of them's up to.
She did.
She said that she did. No good.
But let me throw out another question here. A couple of 3 weeks ago, I was mentioning that about when there's a death penalty involved, not this Anthony case, but generally speaking, and that because in a lot of cases, the defendant, the guilty party who's convicted and sentenced to death, outlasts the family of the victim, because some of these cases drag on for years and years and years. And my suggestion was that if we're using DNA now to let people who were apparently wrongly convicted out of jail, and that if we've got that same evidence to prove the person is guilty, then that ought to move the executions up to within a year or two or something. But I, and maybe somebody in the chat room knows, if none of the panel know, but I'm just curious, when people are found determined to be innocent based on a DNA test, they're already been convicted, wrongly convicted, they're in jail, and the DNA, do they have to wait 2-3 years before they get out once the state has that information, or do the doors to the jail open fairly quickly?
No, buddy, it still takes a while to get them opened up, and it's a little bit wrong on that, too. What ends up happening, Denny, they go back through the whole damn case. The DNA is sitting there, and if it proves them okay, that's fine. They still don't go strictly on the DNA. They do the whole damn thing again, and if all of a sudden it comes to a blunder, you know, there have been a bunch of cases like this on the TV, these late-night shows, watch them, and I've seen a couple of them blundered like crazy. What scares the hell out of me is if you're going to let DNA be the final all-to-all, that becomes God, and then you could be dead tomorrow. So, no, I say, hell no, let's keep it's a fragile system that we're dealing with, but let's make sure all the checks and balances stay in there, and there's no absolute nothing. No absolute nothing. We need two witnesses to be absolute, or more, a little more absolute. You know, we got to check out too many things. I wouldn't give, they already got too much power, brother man. Look what's going on right now.
They need to look at the overall evidence, not just one thing.
Thank you.
Okay, gotcha.
Cobra, if you have a second phone, Can you call our buddy and wake him up?
Yes, I will. I'll get Buddy on the phone and make sure I call the right buddy now.
All right.
Simon, just before I give up my microphone here, I just wanted to say that ever since this Anthony case started, it's had a way of pressing my button. It really has, and... even though there's less news now, of course, than there was before the body was found or the remains were found and so forth, there's something about this whole crew that, boy, I get steamed up, I'm telling you.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I honestly do, too.
But they're a family with almost no redeeming features.
Here he comes. He was out playing again.
He was out playing.
Yeah, a festival. He's probably over there watching that movie. We already seen the movie, TJ. Come on back.
He's been a busy boy lately. I know he's been doing a couple of gigs at haunted houses and zoos and things like that.
Yeah. Well, now he's in some kind of damn... He's probably out with the Village Boys or something, but he said he just forgot he's on his way.
I do believe we have T.J. Hart on the line with us.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Hi, T.J.
Hi, T.J.
Your timing is impeccable, as always.
I'm sorry about that, folks.
No problem. We were talking about the Kaylee Anthony case, and the third thing that happened this week was that George and Cindy attended the funeral of Summer Thompson.
Yes.
I understand that the Thompson family basically downplayed it.
Well, from what I understand, they were very cordial about it, and I mean, they just let it go. I guess they were grieving for their daughter, and too much to make a big deal out of it, which I think was a fine way of handling it, especially at the service of their own daughter and stuff. I think the Anthonys probably appeared just to try to make a show and didn't get what they expected out of it.
There you go. Jan, you got the wisdom.
In fact, TJ, the Summer Thompson story is out of Jacksonville, which is not a million miles from where you are.
Less than an hour.
Right. What can you tell us about Summer Thompson?
Well, I got to tell you that this was a tremendous shock to the community. I mean, the county, which is Clay, is just north. It's on the northern border of Putnam County. And, you know, people were still, you know, in the thick of things with Haley Cummings. And now all of a sudden, boom, this happened. And I got to tell you, it's just been nerve-wracking. It's just been one of these things where people are at wit's end. There are a lot of people who are demanding something get done, but they don't know what needs to get done. I will tell you that there have just been people by the thousands who have been trying to assist Summer's family in any way, shape, or form. So the outpouring of sympathy and affection, and this is coming from total strangers, too, who can only imagine what it's like to lose a child. Other things that have been taking place, of course, about 2,400 tips have come in. They've just been buzzing off the phone there at the Clay County Sheriff's Office. Rick Beasler is a fairly easy guy to work with, but he's a no-nonsense fella. And as you see him more and more on television, you'll understand that. I work through his public information officer, Mary Justino, on a daily basis. And they were saying that the tips are coming in fast and furious. They talk to a lot of people, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're bringing in people for questioning in the murder of this young lady. But they've got a pretty good profile of who or what this person's all about. In fact, they believe this person might be a person who would listen to a show like this or perhaps watch a headline news and have pretty much an all-consuming interest in how this story is playing out, and someone whose personality has probably changed, and that the people in the area might actually know who the killer is, but don't know that that person did the killing, meaning they might know the person, but they're not able to put it together as the person who did the killing. So there are a lot of feelers that they're putting out there, and of course it's generating a lot of responses from the public. The public has been a very heightened thing as far as the attention, going through Kaylee and then Haley and now this, and before that Trenton Duckett and Jessica Lunsford. And Mark Lunsford has even been a person who's tried to console the Thompson family, and of course he's not out there for headlines. This guy has gone from being a guy who was minding his own business, who was doing the best he could to raise his daughter, to a grieving parent, to a guy now who has gone up to with the proposals for new legislation to strengthen the laws against these folks who do horrific acts against children. And now we have folks who think that maybe another step should be taken. Right now I'm at an art festival, I got to tell you, and it's in Micanopy, Florida. And we've talked to a lot of people who recognize me from the radio station, also from the appearances on Nancy Grace and Headline News, and of course your radio program right here with BNN. And almost, and all these things, there are thousands of people. There have been no fewer than 200, I'd say, at each of these events, just this one weekend, saying, what can we do? How can we get on our lawmakers to do something? Something's got to be done. Well, they're not interested in setting up a nonprofit agency. That's the furthest thing from the mind. They want to work legislatively. They want to know how to coordinate legislatively, and a lot of people are doing a lot of homework. But it's all grassroots, and I'm going to tell you that probably you'll be seeing something within the next 18 months legislatively that came from the grassroots of North Central Florida, and it has to do with the horrific happenings that took place with the fate of these children.
Good deal, buddy. I was just in my mind as you were discussing that, from Kaylee to Haley to this little girl. That's 100 miles, less than 100 miles, less than 9 months, less than 9 months. I mean, damn it, man. What the hell is going on, TJ?
I don't know. I mean, if I knew, I think we'd have a solution. And all I know is that there are a lot of twisted people with a lot of twisted ideas.
Yeah.
And it all centers on trying to exert power over children and in the end killing them so that they'll never speak. And if we can ever get to what created that monster, I got my theories that child abuse is the gift that keeps on giving. And I mean that very sarcastically.
Mm-hmm.
Because if someone abuses a child, that child's going to grow up to be an adult and wind up being more abusive
mm-hmm.
and take it another generation at a time further than what it ever was. So, you know, we're seeing some bad fruit come into harvest here.
You mentioned that they were kind of tight-lipped about it up there. I'll tell you what. Every time there was about two or three searches that was done in Putnam County, and Clay County came down to join, and them's the boys I'd worked with them Clay County boys before. I want to tell you something. They may be tight-lipped about it, but I assure you this. You will see movement quite very quickly in that case. They are a much larger department. They got full Jacksonville to pull on. And buddy, I want to tell you what. I just hope they catch them and find out. Maybe they tie some other stuff to them. You know, you never know.
I tell you, there was an excellent article, and I spoke with Simon about this earlier today. It was in the Orlando Sentinel, and you can find this online. It's from a couple of days ago, and it compared the Haley Cummings case to the Summer Thompson case. Why was Summer's, you know, at this point quicker than Haley's?
Mm.
Well, a little disingenuous because, you know, Summers is not wrapped up. They simply found Summer. They haven't found who killed Summer and put that person away. But the experts will tell you that Clay County and Putnam County did everything by the book. And, there are people who are going to drop their jaw and say, well, what do you mean they did everything by the book? Well, according to the experts, whoever the experts are, they did. The thing was is that there were a lot more eyes and ears and people – some wherewithal that were able to move quicker in Summer's case, and one officer was noticing that the trash was being taken out. He said, "Stop it!" And that's how the why they went to the landfill and did what they did. That was a pretty good heads up. The situation with Haley, that there's only one set of eyes, and they were either closed or not looking, and then after that, they got crap to work with. They don't have anything to work with. And even the people who
okay,
what should be helping are for some reason, not a whole lot of help at this point.
Jan has a couple of questions coming in from the chat room.
Yeah, for TJ.
Sure.
One of them wants to know how you feel about it becoming mandatory in the public schools to teach child safety.
Teach child safety? You ought to be teaching child safety. The parents ought to be the ones to get that lesson. And they've got to be instilling it into their kids. And if they can't, I think that just schools have taken over sex education away from the parents because maybe the parents thought it was naughty or something. Maybe child safety in this nanny state should be taught by the schools as well. I have no problem with the school resources officers because these schools have resource officers in the state of Florida. I think it's just probably a very good idea that we do instruct our kids at some level, from the voice of authority, which would be police, who can maybe, you know, put the message in a word that's very real to the kids without giving them nightmares, but get the point across. This is for your own safety. This could happen to you.
You
I think it's a good idea.
You know how they have the DARE programs in schools?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, why couldn't they come up with something like that to teach the kids about
actually, I think you're right. I think it would probably work better than the DARE programs. The War on Drugs is never been won.
No, what I mean
won.
Is similar to that. A program.
Oh, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Have them come in and do the preventative with the kids
right.
And make sure that the kids report unusual stuff.
Right.
I'm all for that. I'm really all for that in this case. I truly am. Kids at least have a heads up. It's fresh and it's aware. I know that my daughter and my granddaughter as well are very heads up because she lives in Florida. She sees Grandpa on TV. She knows when Grandpa's on TV, and she asks, how's that little girl doing? And
yeah.
She says, well, is that going to happen to me? And I'd say, well, no, because for one, you don't go any place where I can't see you. And she goes, oh, that's true. And I said, on top of that, you're going to be left with people we know and trust and love, and there won't be, you know, any room for slip-ups. And she goes, oh, yeah. You know, so she understands now why things in our house that we do.
TJ, the kids are smart, a little bit smarter than that too, brother. And I'll tell you what they really are thinking. They saw that little girl was running down the street or something, and any kind of monster could have done that. But then the second little girl, the one they're really caring about, was picked up out of her bed while she was allegedly sleeping. That's a pretty scary issue right there. You close your eyes, mommy and daddy's got your back, and next thing, somebody's got you.
You know, you got to stay in your groups no matter how bad your brother's ticking you off or how bad your sister's ticking you off.
Yeah.
You got to stay in your groups for safety, and you deal with a brother or sister who's being a pain in the butt when you get home, and let mom and dad settle that argument.
There you go.
Okay, I got one more question.
Sure.
They want to know if it is mandatory for the sex offenders, the registered sex offenders, to leave DNA samples on the files.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It is?
I believe so. Yeah. I think they swab their mouths, and that's been going on for quite a while.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
All right, they just wanted to know that in the chat.
Going back to the Summer case, the cops are being very, very tight-lipped. Are you hearing any scuttlebutt that they might be onto something yet?
You hear things, and then, of course, you try to verify them. And in this case, they're keeping us very well apprised of what's going on and what can be made public and what can't be made public. And they're not letting any unnecessary leaks go out. I mean, they're doing it. They're keeping the press engaged. They're keeping the press informed. And they're very good at telling you, you might want to be paying attention here, but we're not saying anything at this point, but they won't tell you why. They're very good at giving you the heads up. They're very good at keeping your attention so that the story doesn't go cold. They're also very interested in keeping the citizens apprised of what's going on, because not knowing something is a very big danger, but saying too much is also equally as dangerous. So they're walking a very tight line.
Okay, I'm sorry. They got something else. They want to know whether, if you know, if a registered sex offender was involved in Summer Thompson's death.
That I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I've been in the office today, and I've not been with my reporters today, and been away from the internet as well, so I'm not as up to date as I should be. I understand that they've been talking to a lot of people, but I haven't seen the releases. And nor have I been in contact with Mary Justino today.
Okay.
Okay, just a reminder to our listeners, our lines are open, and the number is 646-378-1120. I do want to move on to the Haley Cummings case, but before we do that, there was another incident this week that I just want to mention. I'm beginning to see a very disturbing trend, and although it's not a Florida problem, what's with this kids killing kids?
Well, we have a little girl, a 9-year-old girl that was killed last week from Missouri, and they have arrested a suspect, a 15-year-old female, that killed her, and they're going to try her as an adult. And then this morning, I also run across another little boy that was found dead in from California, a 4-year-old child. And he was found inside a clothes dryer, and a 14-year-old child, boy this time, was arrested and charged with killing him. They say he stuffed the little boy in the dryer after he was dead. And it's
I would be buying that.
Well, right here in Broward County, we had right beside me here just now, they got a 14 and a 15, and the damn volume was up too loud on the computer, so they got to fighting. Well, according to the little fella, it's second-degree murder charges, and the parents are tore up over it. Apparently, he was getting his ass whooped, and he's one reached over and grabbed a steak knife, and it wasn't a, you know, stabbing the shit out of somebody. It was a one shot, and it was the right shot. So now you got
a
situation on your hand. It stuck right in his heart. They came right back out. He bled to death right there instantly. So he's flipping the hell out. He don't even still know that that's what happened, but he was getting his ass whooped and just grabbed it there. I don't know why it would be there, but he grabbed it and just in a fit of boom. I mean, there's got to be some grace for some of them, and then some of them, you know, they got to be put down. I guess I don't know because it's like the sexual guys. There ain't no cure, man. They go into.
Yeah, it's bad enough that adults are killing kids. Now kids are killing kids.
Yeah. We coming to an end.
What does anybody recall that there's a case that's been in the news recently, and I don't know if it's a Florida case or not. It might be. About I guess it was four juveniles that lit another kid on fire.
Yeah, that's right here.
Yeah, it was. It was Florida. It was right between where Bill and I live. Yeah.
And he's fighting for his life. He didn't die, but I guess he's got major, major problems, still in critical condition. And apparently a couple of the kids, when they were interviewed, thought it was funny.
Oh, they thought it was funny as hell. It was over a video game. They threw alcohol on the kid and then lit him on fire. And if he had not jumped into a pool, he would have been dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, they still think it's funny. These guys could be going to prison for a long time. These little juvenile delinquents think it's hilarious. They thought it was the funniest thing he ever did.
Yeah, they some kind of gang related. That's what the deal is. And it was over a bicycle. The one stole his daddy's bicycle when he told on him. And he said, "You're the snitch." So, I mean, he took your snitch. Too damn far. Don't be stealing.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was a bicycle. It wasn't the video game. I got that confused.
It was a bicycle, and then they died for running his mouth, you know. I mean, you know, that's hold on you or something. What happened to a good old ass whooping, you know, or something, you know, you told on somebody and you got a rock on the side of your leg or something, but now you're getting a knife in the ear. I mean, Jesus.
Well, it's a pretty sad world that we're living in. Let's move on to the Hayley Cummings story. TJ, there hasn't been a lot going on this week, but what have you got?
Just that Misty has gone up to Tennessee to visit her grandmother, and really that's about it. And I've spoken with Ellie because there were people just hitting my email box, hitting my telephone. How can they do that? How can they do that? She's so key to the investigation. Well, you know what? Unless you're arrested for something, they can't really restrict your movement a whole lot. Or if you're out on bond or something like that, they really can't. It's. I know that people will say, "Well, why not? Well, why not?" But law enforcement at the FBI level, also the Davidson County officials, they all know where she is. If they need her, they can get her in a heartbeat. There's not a whole lot of places on this. Big blue earth that young lady can go without somebody not knowing. So rest assured that if she's ever needed for questioning or anything else, she can be right there at a law enforcement officer's fingertips.
That was pretty good. How about the realism of it? Women fugitives are the hardest, or women that disappear are the hardest world to catch because they can change their names legally. They got wigs. Everything else, if she wanted to get, she'd get going, brother.
Okay, TJ, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. All right, there's some wind noise coming in from someone's phone. Not sure who's. So the cops do know where she is.
Yeah, they do. They absolutely do.
I mean. I've received a number of emails of Jan, and we've had hundreds and hundreds of comments, you know, why don't law enforcement arrest her for buying cigarettes underage? I mean, you know, that hardly is going to get her in jail for more than about 15 minutes.
If that is, you know... You know, and it's the same crowd who just wants to see her, and I quote from the emails I get, skinny butt behind bars. And all they really care about, throw her in jail, sweat her out, you know. You know, and folks, as much as I sympathize with you, as much as I understand how you feel, and believe me, I understand how you feel. But just remember, these things, back on you when maybe you have or have not done something, and the whole United States torches and pitchforks, yelling, screaming, lock your ass up, you know. Come on. There are rules in the United States. There's this thing called the Constitution, and until, you know, they fully do away with it, it's a pretty good little document. We need to respect it.
You can't do nothing to her. She's fully emancipated, and so leave her alone by smoking cigarettes. You need to talk to her about what the hell, who was lying, her or her Tommy, who was home that evening, because one of the two or both of them are lying.
That's right. True, but you can't lock her up and sweat her out like, you know, she's down in Gitmo for that.
Who said it?
I want you and everybody listening to the show.
Casey Anthony's been in jail for over a year, and she ain't told the truth yet either.
It don't always work that way.
Exactly.
Okay, let's take a caller. We have someone coming in, I'm guessing. Oh, no, we don't. They disappeared.
Oh, okay.
All right. We'll carry on. You're right. I mean, Casey's been in Clink for a year. Hasn't done a blind bit of good.
Right.
Yeah.
And in fact, she likes it there so much, that's probably why she told Byers, stall on showing the judge the evidence until February. You know, I want to spend Christmas in jail.
Okay. Is she still getting a lot of donations and outside money from well-wishers?
I'm
doctor. He's finally lost his mind, too. Oh, man.
One of the people that seems to have completely dropped out of sight is Ronald Cummings. I haven't heard anything about him.
No.
Well, maybe we should call the Sheffields, you think?
Well,
a whole lot out of them either.
that's been very quiet.
Go to where the water's running smooth, and you might find out what we need to do.
Is Ronald still out of work? As far as we know, he was unemployed.
Would you employ him?
not I, said the cat.
Makes a great babysitter. Don't get him.
Okay,
yeah, if I was going to open a daycare center, I'd probably want him.
Do that. Yeah, he can open a daycare center. There you go.
We do have a caller on the line. Someone coming in from the 563 area code. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hi, everyone. My name is Kim, and I have three questions.
Hello.
The first question I have is the furniture and material that Daniel Snodgrass tried to donate, was that ever checked for any evidence or DNA in case he did have Haley there? My second question is it true that there has been a pedophile ring in Putnam County around Satsuma going back 7 to 10 years? And my third question is, has Johnny Sheffield moved back to Florida?
And did he or did he? What'd you say? Last question, Kim?
Has he moved back?
To my knowledge, he ain't moved back to Satsuma yet. Yes, there's been a ring of them. There's 200 of them in the magazine, 300 of them around the county, and that's only 10% what they tell us. So that's probably 3,000, that's 12,000 eyes looking for these little girls. And
Because it's so close to the ports there where they can put kids on ships and send them out,
They are doing that, honey. I think that what the main thing is, you got a lot of migrants working there, and see, in different cultures, younger children is acceptable. You go to, you know, third world countries, I've been, and you see the strangest goings on. In America, we have a little bit higher standard about that stuff. And these folks either all be killed or shipped on over there where they allow that kind of stuff, you know. So
right.
As far as shipping them away and stuff like that, I'm sure it goes on. You're talking about the baby trade and the white market trade and stuff like that. It goes on. I don't know that they're whipping them out of Putnam like that or not, but hell, anything.
Yeah.
Well, as far as the first part, I'm going to tell you something. At the cost of, at the risk of pissing off a few people, no, nothing was checked. No DNA was pulled. In fact, there's somebody been screaming for months that they want that whole property search and all the stuff and furniture in the house, because Snodgrass stayed there on and off for 9 years. And the thing of it is I try not to mix it up with them for a simple reason for what they got accusations against me on. But when this is all said and done, somebody better get with the program and start figuring all that stuff out.
Well, you know that, I don't know about the psychic thing, but I know that Jeffrey, I can't remember his last name, but he said that he predicted that the persons or people that took Haley, the one's name was Marty and the other one had an S in their last name.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty clear.
Their name. That was TJ's story, I believe. What did TJ?
Yeah, it was. It was something that happened on the Maury Povich show, for what it's worth, and it was a person who claims to be a psychic who made that prediction or who
right.
came to that line of thinking.
I say if they're any good, they get to spell out the whole damn name along with a damn arrest warrant. Let's go get them. That's the only
right.
psychic.
Get
and my lottery record. Numbers.
Well,
yeah.
you can tell me it's a Marty and it's an S. Tell me all of it. You know, tell me how they did it, what they did it. Go tell the police. Go tell them what they did. And then until then, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
That's right. Because all it does is stir up the crap, and you really don't have any foundation other than a hunch or a feeling.
Yeah. And then if you get out there and you say, well, I thought this was a place, and then turn it all into some kind of bullshit that they got going on up there now about that fake search and all that crap. See, that's what happens. You know, if you don't know the full story, then...
Wasn't that done off of a psychic tip?
That's exactly right.
That San Mateo,
right.
Wasn't that done off of a
psychic
tip?
Dog. Hey, the dog had psychic abilities. I swear to God, I saw him write his name in the sand. He said, I said, what's your name? He said,
I can see him on the computer wearing sunglasses.
Like giving out these names like that also opens up to suspicion of innocent people.
I'm being facetious about the dog talking, but the dog had more common sense than about half of them on this crazy-ass fluted loon trail.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks
right.
for
you.
Calling.
Thank Bye-bye. You.
Basically, it's been a very quiet week, and there is nothing coming out of PCSO. Actually, this isn't the first time that they've done this. They go
Actually, it's about the third.
Right. They go, oh, so quiet. And then they drop a little depth charge. I mean, a good example was the last one, that press release they issued on Haley's birthday. I mean, you know, it was short. It was to the point. And that just caused a huge ripple effect.
Yep. And it's still rippling.
That's what I asked DJ. Did that guy that they had come in that went into retirement and come back, is he the one that wrote that spiel?
No, actually, that was Johnny Greenwood. And I tell you what, I got to give Greenwood an A flipping plus for that one, because that was meticulously worded.
Hey, well, I thought the other guy did it, because I haven't heard that out of Mr. Greenwood. But if he wrote that one up, I'm going to tell you, that was most powerful. I don't think there was a more... Donald Trump don't have powerful shit like that.
Yeah, I tell you what, Captain Chalin has written a few of those other ones prior to it, but this one with Greenwood, it was like a laser beam, bang.
Yep.
When he said to anyone who has known the whereabouts of Misty, the night of the abduction, is encouraged to come forward. Everyone was looking about, oh, look, mom and dad, biological mom and dad have been all but cleared.
Yeah. Well, what
and
about
that wasn't the story. The story
was
we got a possibility of finding out more. Let's exploit that weakness.
Well, the only thing bugs me about that whole thing, I mean, that was whoever wrote the speech and got the thing fire started, that they damn sure blew it up. Amen.
Yeah.
Congratulations. But what bothers me is this, Tommy. For over 4 days, and 4 days through some all kinds of questioning and shit going on and all this kind of stuff. Then they file a fake-ass police report about me. Then they come around and say I was down there the very night. Now, he's either a dumbass or lied and made himself a dumbass, because that put him at that trailer at 10 o'clock. Now, if she wasn't there, how do we know that he ain't involved in the thing? And he got sprung, you know, all too easy. It doesn't make any sense. Now we got two people at the trailer confirmed, one by admission, the other one by saying she was sleeping. So you got two people there. Now you got four sets of eyes. What? Why hasn't anybody pushed that issue? One of the two of them is lying.
Oh, I think the issue is being pushed. It's just not being published, and there's a reason for it. because, once again, they're keeping things under wraps. I will tell you, Cobra, that law enforcement is applying little bubbles of pressure wherever they can, and they're really trying to exploit this situation, but they have to do it carefully. They have to do it meticulously. They can't afford any slip-ups. One, it could compromise the investigation. Two, it could you know, really bring a lot of harm, not only to this case and hopefully finding the little girl, but it could also make some pretty irreparable harm to the sheriff's administration if a mistake was made in applying pressure in a situation like this. You got to be very careful how much you use, how much wiggle room you allow yourself, and what are you getting for your pressure, and is it working for you or against you?
Damn, now you got to be careful. Now that sounded like it was a pro stance for the police. I say keep doing y'all's job up there, fellas. But now you got two people that you can accuse of something happening, because two people now have been to be in there at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, but the thing is, unlike us or other folks, I mean, they have to follow the letter of the law, mm-hmm. not ballpark. They can't ballpark it. I mean, they're entrusted by the public to be law enforcement officials and not game hunters.
Right.
And their job is to solve this case. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But it's also not to put themselves or the rest of the community at large in any kind of jeopardy.
All right, then. Being said all that now, how can you put Ken Taylor's name in the middle of all that?
I can.
Okay, because he should have been doing some investigation rather than getting me locked up, because the law is the law, brother.
Well, I keep forgetting that you know, it's about a lot of people and not just one case, you know.
Right.
And it's one of these things where if they had all their resources to settle this one case, that would be fine. But in the meantime, I got to tell you, they've had a few jailbreaks, a few people getting killed trying to spring themselves from prison. They've had a couple of murders. They had a multi-million-dollar drug situation that was taking, I think, $25 million was the take on that one. And they're a very small, agency in comparison to others. But the situation is, they want to get this thing done, Bill. Hell, you know they want to get this thing over with. We've talked to some of the folks who've been working on this case. They sure as hell don't want to be playing around. I'm sorry, I'm driving with a bunch of Floridians here. I'm on the road now, folks, so I got some guy looking at me with about half his teeth and none of his eyes, so never mind.
Hey, with all the jailbreaks and all them drug busts and all that, you forgot the hell they even arrested a damn bounty hunter, too. They got a
Yeah, Bill, it's all about you, and I know it. I really do. But, you know, and I'm getting that. And the thing is, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I'm trying to answer one question, but it keeps going around to your injustice. And you know, I feel for you, brother. I really do. But I'm trying to keep the topic on task. I love you, and you know that.
Keep the car in the middle of the road. Don't get lost.
Okay, I've got a question. It's going to change the subject a little bit. Everybody in the chat room is wanting to know what TJ knows about a Richard Brooks.
Ooh.
Richard Brooks. That's ringing a lot of bells here, and I don't have my notes with me, and I'm not going to stick anything, I'm not going to put anything out of my mouth that's going to be untrue, but that's ringing a lot of bells with me right now.
I believe one of them said something about from Cape Cod.
Cape Cod.
I can't go back far enough to
okay. I've been getting a lot of information, especially around the Labor Day weekend, and also even past from folks who've been funneling some tips to me from the Cape
father.
Cod area.
They said it's Amber's father.
But could be. That was one of the questions that was asked. Bill sounded like he knew, but like I said, I'm not going to say anything that I'm not sure about right now, because
okay.
I don't want to be tripping myself here bad.
Okay, because I don't know anything about him. So.
Okay, I just know that the name is just ringing a lot of bells to me right now.
Let's take another caller, someone coming in from the 337 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hey, everybody. This is Lindy Lou.
Hey.
I have a few questions. First question, you mentioned Greenwood.
Yeah.
Did any of you see the video where he mentioned that Teresa was the one who actually went to the trailer that night? And he also said that the call initially came in at 2:13. I wanted to know what you made of that.
It sounded like he was talking off the top of his head, and he didn't have these facts in front of me. In front of him, I'm sorry. Yeah, because he did that with the Gainesville Sun newspaper, and they brought the camera in. He did not have the file there, and it sounded like he was talking off the top of his head. And I did see that. In fact, it was quite of a big bit of conversation here in the North Florida area.
He made up on it on the birthday, though, didn't he?
Yeah. But this, yeah.
And one more question?
Sure. Yeah.
I mentioned this last weekend, and again, where is the reward money? Why hasn't that been upped? That's 2 weeks now that this concert has taken place.
Hmm. That's very good. I don't know for sure that the, other than what I read off that website, that some of that was supposed to be rewarded, but I haven't seen it go up. There was one reward that was in place for several months, but it expired. So now it's down to like 30,000. I do know that.
Maybe
but that wasn't from the Haiti Buck Center.
Maybe they have to pay Ronald's investigator. I understand. I haven't confirmed it through five sources, which is normal. This is only three sources that he's hired a private investigator. She's a female out of Lalachuan or what? With them two big rivers, Lalachuan. What do you call that place over there? Yeah, you know,
Alachua County?
Latino, the little place over there, it sounds like two rivers coming together. I can't pronounce it. Lachuaxin. It's close by Putnam. And
okay.
Some type of, I don't know, civil servant before of some sort or something. She's the investigator right now. She came into the case, I don't know, a week or so ago, from my understanding.
Okay. And that's on Ronald's, that's with Ronald's attorney, with Shoemaker and Mallory and those guys?
That's what I'm understanding, is a female.
Okay.
From Alachuan, whatever the hell you call it. About 30 miles out there. What is that? You cross by it to come out of Gainesville.
Does that answer your questions?
Basically, yeah. I don't think the money would from Crime Stoppers would come for Ron's attorney. If anything, the money should go to what Marie and Crystal said it was going to go to on their side of the family, and that was to search.
Oh, if it's on their
side. Oh, you're talking about the Texas concert, yeah.
The mystery concert, yes, sir.
Funds there. That ain't shit. They ain't spending no money finding this kid.
Yeah, but where did the money go?
Oh, well, Marie Griffiths, last I checked, was the president of the Haley Bug Corporation, and her daughter was the vice president, or maybe they're reversed. But anyway, those would be the ones that would have to give a show-tell.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. They should come up and explain to the people where that money went to.
Can't do it.
You're exploiting your child one way or the other.
Exactly.
True.
Exactly.
Actually, on the subject of non-profits, Shoemaker was making noises about setting one up for Ron, primarily to fund the cost of a private investigator. Do we know if there's been any movement on that?
Don't know what the money is, but I do know that Ronald, the investigator was for Ronald, and how it's being paid, I don't know. I didn't know that concert was going to benefit the other side. They seem to have a bunch of them little benefit things going on now, don't they? And where is the reward money at, and what did happen, and where is it going?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, this, Bill, this concert was that mystery concert that took place in Texas. I guess Tim Miller showed up there, too, and it was a little awkward because days before that he had mentioned that he thought that Haley was dead, and then, you know, he was at that concert. It was a bit of an awkward moment.
Mm-hmm. It's all awkward. I mean, it's like the lady said, theft by deception. I shouldn't say that, but that's what keeps ringing out in my head, theft by deception. But the thing is if you exploit a missing child, you a damn pedophile. You everything that everyone else is that actually did the dirty deed. You the same way. If you exploit you are. And I've been accused, you exploited. I was looking for a little girl. I'll show you my two bologna sandwiches. That's some bullshit. And where is the money going, my friend? Where is it going?
I think that's a valid question, and certainly one that should be investigated. Let's take another call. We have someone coming in from the 541 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, this is Elizabeth, and I have a question for Cobra. I was wondering, Kim Holmseth, he's been putting out videos, and he put one out with a partial conversation where you're speaking with Marty Sheffield about Marty was saying he didn't want to be arrested and he didn't want you coming up in a no-bond state. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you could just tell us what that conversation was about. Why would he not want to be arrested? What was he afraid of being arrested for?
I'd like to know, too, because here's what happened. You know, this fella up there, he's forgetting that we're a two-party state. He's a one-party state, so it shouldn't be too long before those videos get retracted, because it was, unlike this is a radio station where what you're saying out there, when you're having a private conversation belly-aching to somebody on the phone about something, and they put it out there and it caused all this chaos, I don't know. Me and Timmy and Marty was on the phone talking, and Timmy was... And the only thing I would say is he's got the whole recording of whatever it is we was talking about at the time. Now, the only thing that I ever known Marty, Johnny Sheffield, to be guilty of, involving the police and they had to come after him and stuff, was the fact that he was doing a little chicken fighting or dog fighting, or somebody was fighting somebody, or maybe he was fighting. But he's told me that he's coming back out of Kentucky because the law enforcement up there ain't too damn friendly to his kind of hillbillion. So he's going back to Putnam County, and that's what the other lady was saying. I don't know if they're back yet. I'm sure when they get back, they'll be ringing my phone off the hook. But plans were made for him to come back out of there. But as far as him, they come get him. If he had, here's where Timmy, Crayon Timmy's went off the damn charts. If he had been accused of, or the police thought that he was in Kentucky and he had something to do with Haley, it's a no-bond state, meaning a bondsman ain't going to go up there and catch a fugitive, and he'll go to law enforcement, to get him if it's extraditable, shit like that. But if he had involvement, they'd go up there and get him and kick his door in and all that stuff. It ain't got nothing to do with bond. So when I told him we were having a chit-chat conversation about him being in some trouble up there with the law enforcement, I said, hell, I get you bond for you, buddy. That's right, it's a no-bond state. Well, you bond yourself out. He goes, well, they can't come get me up here. And I don't know what all the conversation was, but it was not meaning that he had stolen Haley like it's being reported out there by the Crayon boys.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, because he had just put out that partial conversation.
Oh, that's all.
And he has a tendency of putting out just
there ain't the whole
what he wants.
Some of it's play acting. Some of it, you know, when you're on the phone with him and stuff, it's like, well, hell, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll set the whole damn town on fire. And if a town caught one on fire, then he's got that damn thing, and that's where he'd be playing it. Yeah, Cobra said he'd set the whole damn town on fire, run them out of there, you know, stuff like that. And that, you jibber-jabber on the phone with somebody and being recorded and putting out there, it's got to be a damn against the law. It's got to be damn against the law, and this is a matter of time for the law to deal with him. But the thing of it is if somebody wanted to know that question, and if I had to go before a grand jury, I assure you this, he wasn't talking about stealing no Haley and running up there because it was a no-bond state. That I could tell you. It might have been some other bullshit, but it wasn't nothing to do about Haley.
TJ, a question for you. You're a seasoned reporter. I mean, over the years...
Seasoned like a steak.
Right. I mean, over the years, I have no clue how many interviews you've conducted, but it's a lot. It's a big number.
Yeah.
And how easy would it be to take one very small portion of an interview out of context and paint a picture that is completely untrue?
You ever watch CNN?
Right.
TJ.
You ever watch MSNBC?
Okay. TJ?
I'm telling you, within the skinniest context of the law, those cable networks are able to do that within the context, and only by the thinnest margin. It's called taking something out of context. And oftentimes, things are taken out of context to exploit a soundbite in order to get people to watch or listen or read your medium, whether it's internet, radio, or television. And it's something, it's a two-edged sword. You will get reads, you'll get hits, You'll get people checking out your TV station, your radio station, but it's also highly irresponsible, and you'll get caught on it, and you'll pay the ultimate price for it. And if you get caught on it enough, sometimes you get your license revoked.
Right. I mean, I've done...
But we're talking about the Internet, and there's no licensing here, so, you know, that's going to be a tough call. But I think there's a thing called libel, slander, defamation of character, and a few other things that I think that Johnny and Cobra can use as a remedy in a court of law, if so needed.
I've done hundreds of interviews, and I could probably... you know, pick 50, 60, you know,
yeah.
Where, you know, we went off topic, and I could produce those sound bites, you know.
Oh, yeah,
and,
easily.
Oh, yeah.
Can I ask another question?
Certainly.
I heard Tim Miller is going to be searching for Haley now.
I've not heard any further update on that, but somebody else might have had.
I think it depends on what day you're listening. One day he is, the next day he isn't.
Okay.
Very true.
I had heard it after he had said that Haley was dead.
Yeah, I've heard it twice that he said he wasn't, then he said he was, and now I don't know if he is or if he isn't.
Okay, this brings up a very interesting situation. Right, Tim Miller was actively involved in the search for Kaylee Anthony.
Yes, he was. I know where you're coming from.
Okay, you tell us the story.
Yeah. And there was a conversation between Tim Miller and Cindy Anthony, a big argument, as a matter of fact, because she didn't want him there looking for a dead Kaylee. She wanted him to look for a live Kaylee. And he said... he thought she was dead, and he was going to be looking for a dead Kaylee. So she insisted that he leaves. Okay, now he's saying he thinks Haley is dead, so he doesn't find any reason to search. What's the turnaround mean there?
Well, actually, it's more complex than that, even. Because it doesn't Tim Miller's organization specialize in recovery more than anything else, you know, would be cadaver dogs, etc.
Well, yeah, that's what, I mean, he's got them all. So, I mean, they search in the woods, they search in the water, they search in the swamps. How are you going to expect to find a live child out there anyway? So if he's not going to be looking for a live child in Casey's and Kaylee's instance, then why can't he look for a... I mean, it's just totally twisted around in this case.
In some ways, I suspect that Tim probably made a bit of a misjudgment in some of the sound bites that he released. And I, going back to my earlier conversation about, you know, how sound bites can be misleading. In this case, I don't believe they were. I think they were pretty darn clear. TJ, do you have any comments on that?
Right now, it's one of those things that I'm asking a lot more questions than I'm getting answers these days when it comes to this realm. And I'm just going to hold pat on it for right now because there's a lot of stuff swirling, and once again, unless I'm 100%, I'm not going to say anything on this issue.
I don't blame you. That's a very good answer. Denny, we haven't heard much from you. You've just been absorbing it all like a sponge.
Crime
doctor. Absolutely. Absolutely. I do have a question. See if it's just me or not, but I know there had been a lull for quite some time in the information about a Haley investigation, and we commented on it on this program. And then I think it was right around Haley's birthday in that time frame, there started to be several things happening. And we all sensed a momentum building. The case got back in the news. This happened, that happened. There was... several events. The national news got involved a little bit more. And I thought, and I don't think I was alone on this, that felt the momentum building and felt we were near something. That either
yes.
And I don't know. It's been several weeks now. My personal feeling is I've lost that feeling of momentum. I don't have that sense that maybe tomorrow morning there's going to be some kind of a press release or a bombshell announcement. Are you folks, and you're, you know, you have sources on the inside and so forth, are you still feeling that we're in the, you know, just around the corner type situation, there's going to be something yeah. happen, or no?
Well, actually, that was where my earlier comment was leading. You know, we've seen Putnam do this several times before, that they go very, very quiet, and then they gently drop a depth charge into the case.
But I could, Bill, I don't know what you're hearing, but what I'm hearing is get ready for the ride. I think that has been the catchphrase I've been hearing now for about the last four days. Is that something that your eyes and ears are telling you in the street?
What ride is that, brother?
That it's going to start getting fast and furious with some leads being uncovered. That's the word I'm getting from a few of my sources.
Yeah, I say damn it, 9 months, we ought to be able to have a whole snow ride hill coming off of. I mean, damn, man. I don't know. There's been a few things that have led me, gave me a lot of questions, TJ, on this whole damn case. A lot of questions.
Uh-huh.
I got more questions now, brother, than I ever got answers for. You have to understand now, this is not the only case that I've watched in Putnam County. I've watched several.
Oh, sure. Oh, you bet.
And there's a lot of different things that you see going along, and sometimes you start to lose the faith, I guess. You start to lose hope. You start to lose the confidence that you once had in individuals and stuff like that. So I don't know, TJ. If something don't happen soon, I think even everyone, I mean, even the family members, brother, that this is their blood, this is their DNA, and I see what they do, and I see what they doing. They busy getting the crops in and getting what the, you know.
Yeah.
There's a little girl still missing, man, you know.
Hey, Bill, you know, you were talking about how you've watched several other cases. I'm only into this one really deep. The rest, for me, have just been your case and, of course, the situation that makes the news with the jailbreaks and the murders and what have you. Have you seen any kind of similarities with the way that law enforcement has been treating these? Is there any kind of common thread, or each of these things being treated differently, more or less tailored to their own individual needs?
Well, here's what I see, and I don't mean to piss people off because there's individuals that are involved, and this is not the department. And remember, I don't do individual police. I only do departmental policy. That's the only thing I've
yeah.
investigated to find out what is your standard operating procedure and
investigation. Uh-huh.
Well, I have seen things that don't look standard operating procedure. My case, Snodgrass's case, this guy's been on bond for 2 years. There's been all kinds of. He was supposed to go to trial on the 22nd of June, a day before my birthday. All
yeah.
of a sudden now, when I'm seeing things, hearing things, this popped off over here. Of course, you know, I always focus on mine because I know the investigation that was done or left undone or half done. And then I look at a few other things, and I look at collection of evidential things. I look at, you know, the way things are handled and who said what at a given time. It's probably call me, tell me, I'm going to get you now. But, I mean, I see a lot of things. And I've been in court a few times and got a chance to see some of the other folks that have been arrested and getting, you know, transfer over here, do this over there. I mean, just things just don't make no damn sense to me at all. And I don't really care. I've really got one axe to grind in the fire, and once they pull my axe out of there, I'm gone.
Yeah, I understand. I don't doubt that for a second.
I don't give a shit about it. But the thing is it is puzzling to me, being an investigator for damn near 30 years. And, I mean, hell, I actually started investigating probably when I was 2 or 3 or 4 and found out, you know, hey, this is what you're going to do. Saw some very serious cases before the show came on and you were paused out there. It's like law enforcement makes an arrest on an individual. If that individual breaks bond and decides to go, there's very slim chances that same law enforcement or anybody in his department is ever going to see that guy or catch that guy again themselves. Therefore,
yeah.
other law enforcement someplace else or someone such as myself or someone like that that goes and hunts people and brings them back to justice. So I'm looking, I've learned a lot in these couple of cases here. Denny, crime doctor there, brought up a very interesting thing that this Orlando case, if they had evidence, why they'd be allowed to go until February. Hell, get me out of jail for Christmas. I'd be screaming. I'd be suing the shit out of the damn attorney. You better give that information up now, or you're going to wait until then to try to build your case. Therefore, then you're in contempt of court, and you lied to the judge.
Yeah.
But Denny had said, you know, you could probably go back there and say, hey, judge, check this out. You know, this is for your ears only. Look into this and see what this is. And I didn't know a judge could do that. But if a judge could do that, hell, that would sure simplify a lot of things. And you know, I'm all for it. The girl didn't do it. Get her ass out of jail. So I don't know. TJ, I see a thread running through a lot of stuff that I never saw before. And maybe that's just the way it is. You know, maybe that's the, you know, I got a soup sandwich, got caught up in a trick bag as they talk. I don't know, brother. I know one thing. I don't really give a shit. I want to get back to what the hell I was doing and taking care of my business.
Okay, let's take another caller. We have someone coming in from the 337 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
This is Lindy again, which it kind of got touched on because TJ said it, which, P.S., TJ, you are the bomb. Anyway, okay, with Misty going back to the grandma's house, I do think that her and Ron's divorce thing is kind of a bluff sham, to say it lightly, because they both said they were going to get back together.
Mm-hmm.
But if she went to Tennessee to the grandma's house, this is near the cousin Joe's, correct?
I'm concerned, as far as I know, it is right there in the heart of cousin Joe's neighborhood.
Could, since Ellie's kind of been tippy-toeing around her, could they have sent her that direction to maybe try to get family on that side to maybe give her some information if she really did think Joe had something to do with it?
In theory.
That's a very interesting theory.
It's not clear to me that Misty and law enforcement exactly see eye to eye, though.
Well,
she doesn't really have a whole lot of love for Cousin Joe, either. She pretty much thinks he's a scumbag and has said so on television. Which makes it even more interesting that you go up there.
Carry on, caller.
I'm sorry. It just seems that, you know, they could be pressuring her more than they are, which makes me think maybe they know she knows something and maybe she could help them, so they kind of dangle her like they do. But, you know, maybe they've kind of gotten her to the point where, well, why don't you help us? If you're not going to tell us, well, why don't you help us? Because they keep saying, well, they know where she's at. Well, how can they know where Misty's at, but they don't know where Haley's at by now?
Well, they've had a lot more contacts with Misty, and of course, Misty's a known quantity. People visually would recognize her. Law enforcement in the Tennessee area, as well as everyone in the entire Southeast, as far as law enforcement is concerned, well aware of who she is. And Putnam, and especially the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, the FBI, have made it abundantly clear that, you know, this is a person that we would like to know where she might be in case we need her. That's all I can really tell you. I can't tell you who's whys and whys and hows and the inner workings of making that sausage, but that's sausage.
Well, she has to
go
somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I guess she was running out of friends' places to crash at in Palatka.
Or brothers to get restraining orders placed upon.
All right.
Is that restraining order still in effect?
She was working on it the last time I checked on that. She was working to get that thing amended.
Can I ask one more question?
Certainly.
On this clip that the Tim guy put out this past week, he said on that clip they have something about Ruby, the grandmother of Crystal. How she was stating something like about the National Enquirer, like if they would give her a call, she would just spill it all out. Any of you know what was meant by that?
Well, I've talked to her, and I got to tell you, Cobra put me in touch with her, at her urging, I think we had a good, 20-minute conversation over the telephone. I recorded everything. And if she was plenty upset when she talked, but all she was doing was basically pointing fingers at other folks at that stage of the game. She was very steamed. It was at the time when the Sheffield farm was being dug up and the ponds were being inspected, and all they found were the bodies of dead horses. She was pretty steamed up about that. And I wasn't trying to answer a question for Cobra, but Cobra, has she ever let you know anything other than basically some gut feeling?
That's well, there's no child, so that's all that anything has been is gut feeling, I guess. You know,
okay.
Gut feeling or emotional or I don't know, brother.
Didn't she try to work with you to get another cadaver dog search? And what, or am I confusing that with someone else?
I don't know. You know, I get them all confused. I get them all confused myself.
Yeah.
Well, they're all mysterious. I mean, you got this one in Pocoruco. You got them changing the names and doing everything. You know, how the hell? I can't keep track of them no more. I just tell them, listen, don't give me some sighting over there, this thing or the other.
Yeah. This woman, if I'm not mistaken, Bill, she's only about 4'10", and she's got a lot of emotion, but I wouldn't consider her.
Uh oh, we lost someone. I think probably TJ. I'm sure he's changing phone batteries right now. Yep, that was TJ. Let's talk child abductions in general. I don't know if we're seeing a general increase countrywide, or if it's just that suddenly Jan and I and TJ and Cobra and Denny are more focused on that kind of news. But it's getting pretty damn depressing out there. I did some poking around online this morning. I live in the backwoods of Mississippi. I mean, you don't get any further from civilization than our little town. I think the population is somewhere between 15,000 and 20,000 people. I actually did a check on registered sex offenders. We have 50 in the town.
Damn.
Yeah.
I knew it. I told you today. You looked it up today, right? I thought you got 50. You've got 53. You're over the limit.
Yeah, no, and actually, Cobra is right. It was the reason I looked it up was as a result of a phone conversation this morning. I thought, I'll give it a try, and sure enough, we've got 50 of them.
I do this for a living, my brother. This is what I do.
And in fact, I then sort of looked up Florida. And Florida has, as a state, over 51,000 registered sex offenders.
Representing 10%.
Yeah, it sounds a huge number. But actually, believe it or not, it places 13th in rank.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Right, it's way behind Texas and California, but Florida does hold the dubious record of being third in child abductions, again, right behind Texas and California. Denny, I know that you've recently become much, much more involved in the child abduction arena. Presumably, you've seen these types of statistics.
Yes, and they're just, well, I was totally unaware when I got into this of how bad the problems are, and the statistics just are very scary. And if you've got your, stranger abductions, which are somewhat rare, it's a lot of times this family or acquaintances, neighbors, and it's just appalling, the number. And like Culver was saying earlier, that these statistics of these registered offenders and so forth are just the tip of the iceberg. They're just the ones that have been caught
and
are on record. Mm-hmm. And they only represent a very small percentage of what's actually out there. And, God, it's just a scary thing. And it's, you know, it's something that every parent or anybody with nieces and nephews and so forth, younger brothers and sisters, really needs to be concerned about and try to educate people. They were talking earlier, I think Jay had mentioned, about whether schools should be putting on child safety information or getting that out. And certainly the parents need to do that also. I mean, if they can get the school involved, fine, but the parent needs. And last night I was pleased with the trick-or-treaters that came to visit me. Every single one of them, and they ranged in age from, you know, the 4- and 5-year-olds up to probably early teens. None of those kids came without being accompanied by an adult. I don't know if they were all parents or older brothers or whatever. But every single person who came to the house was accompanied by an adult, and I thought that was a great thing. I don't.
It is.
So I was very pleased to see that.
You know, Halloween used to be such a wonderful holiday, and I would go out with my kids when they were younger, but it has changed completely. You know, it started off with couple of rare cases of people handing out apples with razor blades put in them. Yeah, and it's gone downhill from there. I am so glad that my kids are now adults. I don't know what I would do if I had a small child in the house.
I know it was safe when I was growing up, too. Like you say, I mean, we went out trick-or-treating and never had no problems. My parents would never go with us because it wasn't necessary. I mean, we would go in the neighborhood and we'd come back with lots of candy, and you know, my mom and dad would check it before we ate it, but that was still, it was no big deal. So, but nowadays the kids have actually here. We didn't have one trick-or-treat at all last night, but the kids of the families have resorted to going to parties or like to the mall. The mall over here hands out candy from each store, and, you know, that way it's safer for the kids. But still, you have to have an adult with these children to protect them.
Captain, I thought that I think it's a very good program. We don't have a problem teaching our kids how to have sex in America today.
Right.
Free condoms. So at least we ought, if we're going to do that, at least we ought to teach them if they want to be a willing participant or not, how to defend themselves and how to not engage into a situation that would lead into a situation like that. And I do believe that the education begins at home. It's fortified in the schools, and then it's taken up with law enforcement when it's broke down. Now, it goes all the way up into the court system, and we let them out in a couple of years to get a little smarter. Those statistics, by the way, of 51,000, 53,000, depending on who's doing the charts, represents 10% in Florida. 18 years is the normal expectancy before a molester is caught. That's typical. That's in the book some damn place. 18 years. So if you think about that, that the average person who's got caught up, it's taken them 18 years to get caught up. There's a whole lot of stuff going on. We have lost our minds as a society.
And Simon, can I add something here? One of the people I spoke with about this, an expert in this area, told me that there are so many situations in which there are signs. There are telltale signs, warning signs, if you will, that some of these molesters and child predators have a problem. And it could be, for example, the a wife or live-in girlfriend or whatever finding hardcore porn on the man's computer and realizing that he is into this type of thing. And not doing anything about it. They kind of let it go, or maybe they talk to him and say, hey, look, you really shouldn't be doing this. But they don't tell anybody else. It could be embarrassing. They don't want to, blow in their boyfriend or whatever. But there are telltale signs. There are warning signs. And they're not acted on. And I've talked to people who tell me that several of the children who we've talked about in years past who were killed or victimized by these predators could very well be alive today had these warning signs been acted on. But the people, the brothers, sisters, wives, girlfriends, whatever, of the perpetrators saw the signs and for whatever reason decided not to do anything about it. And that's really a shame also.
Right. Earlier in the program, TJ mentioned that he'd been talking to literally hundreds of people, and they were all clamoring for something's got to happen. Something needs to change. In fact, I spoke to him earlier this morning, and he was telling me the same story. What in your opinion needs to, or can be changed? What legislation? It's one thing saying we need legislation. It's entirely another thing determining what that legislation should be. Should it be a one-strike rule? Do we need to reevaluate what puts people on the sex offender list? I'm no legal expert, but you can become a registered sex offender for a reasonably minor infraction.
Mm-hmm. Pissing in public.
Yes. Yeah. I mean.
That needs to be corrected. That flaw needs to be corrected. If you diddle, if you have changed a little girl that doesn't belong to you, and you're not care custodian of this child, and you changed her clothes, or if you touched her in any way with your penis or with your hand or whatever thing, they need to shoot you in the forehead. Now, that's what I would do if I caught somebody with my child, shoot them in the forehead. And I think that if you are blood running through your veins and it's really your child and you ain't messed up on dope or something, you do the same damn thing. So it's one strike, you out of here, because there is no cure for that type of sickness. And when they let them out in 4 years, by God, they got problems. And just because they ain't acting out again, that's because you don't know if they're acting out again. And
they shouldn't get a second chance.
They should not. Should not. If you're going to break that innocence vow all the way, you're going to do the most horrific shit in the world, touching a child, then you need to be taken out and bent over and shot in the damn head, period. Done. Over. Out of here. And,
okay,
you know,
I don't see that as workable legislation.
I
agree with the sentiments. Denny, what's your theory?
I would like to see uniform, tough sentencing of these people. I agree that you need the criteria clearly established. In other words, like we just mentioned, taking a leak in public should not put you on the sex offenders list.
Right, right.
But once you've established the serious crimes, the serious actions that qualify where you should be, where you absolutely positively should be on that list, and if we can't do what Cobra says, we would have to have the list. If we were able to follow his feelings, we wouldn't really need the list. But under the present system, have these people go away for quite some time. We hear cases every so often where some judge in a certain jurisdiction here or there will sentence somebody that's been raping a girl for a juvenile girl since she was 3 years old, and finally the story comes out when she's 8 or 10, and they get probation. My God, what? it's just incredible to me. And thankfully, they're not all that common, but they shouldn't happen at all. These people should be dealt with severely.
Would something like mandatory chemical castration, should that become law?
Yeah, but the only problem with that is a lot of the diddlers are instrumental diddlers. They use foreign objects and stuff like that because they have a sickness to where they're not, it doesn't always fit the same thing. A lot of them are object inserters and stuff like that. If you castrate them, cut the damn hands off, I reckon that might be acceptable.
Okay, we're just about out of time. I'd like to quickly run around the panel and get everyone's final thoughts for the day. Jan, you're up.
He always calls on me. Well, personally, I feel like something has to be done to change all this. Like I said in an article that I wrote also, if they give them life in prison, make them stay in prison for life. If they give them 20 years, make them serve that with no possibility of parole or anything like that. Give them what they deserve, life in prison. If they're not going to give them, the death penalty, do something to keep them off the streets. If they have to go out in the deserts and build new prisons just to put them in, it would be worth taxpayers' money to build a new prison to put them in if the old ones is running out of room. There's no excuse for that.
Do a Joe Arpaio. Just get some
army
surplus tents.
and keep them off the streets. We have to do something to protect these children.
Well, I'd say if you're going to break out the army on them, you may as well just go ahead and load them all up and make that a battalion. And
exactly.
Drop that battalion in harm's way and let them see if they can fight it out, and they get the chance to walk away if they want to. And keep them separated from our normal troops now. Just put them jokers, just drop them out of there, and the ones that get up and get with it, they get with it. The ones that don't, oh, well, they got theirs.
Exactly.
Okay, Cobra, any last thoughts? We've got to wrap this show up.
That's what I was thinking, brother. Just break them, you got to do something. If you can't put them in jail forever and you can't castrate them, you can't shoot them in the back of the damn head, have some special mission you can put them on that's highly risky and let them work that out.
and lastly, Denny.
Reminiscent of the Dirty Dozen. but I just wanted to tell you folks, I'm going to miss you. I'm heading for Florida Thursday morning. We're going to be taking a cruise out of the Fort Lauderdale area.
Uh-oh.
And I'll be gone for a couple of weeks, so I can't join you again until the 22nd, 3 weeks from today.
Wow.
What
are we
going to
do about you?
Going out of town that long, you might want to see me before you go. I might want to try to rob your ass.
But I'll be thinking about you.
Have a safe trip.
Well, thank you.
I want to thank all of our panel. We did lose TJ. I know he was barreling down a Florida highway, and I'm guessing his cell phone battery died or he hit a dead spot. But it's been an interesting 90 minutes, and I want to wish all of our listeners a great day, and I do hope you'll join us next Sunday. I'm sure we'll be doing this again, and I'm gonna go with TJ's hunch. There is something coming down the pike. I've seen PCSO operate this way in the past, and you just know that depth charge is about to come out. So this is Simon and Jan Barrett wishing everyone a great day, and we'll talk again soon. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.